Let's call upon our God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence again with thanksgiving, the opportunity to gather together for worship. For you reign, let the peoples tremble. You dwell between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. You are great in Zion, high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. You, O Lord, are holy. And as we've gathered here, Lord, to consider your word, grant to us the understanding we need as we turn to the scriptures, that we would know, Lord, how we ought to pray. Grant to us, Lord, once again, the privilege to recognize the privilege and the desire that we're to have as your people to call upon your name in prayer. We ask that you would receive our praise and that you would hear our voice and bless your servant and bless each one of us in this afternoon hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn to the back of the hymnal as we read now from Lord's Day 45. That's where we're up to. And we'll read the three first questions and answers that are there, 116, 117, and 118. And then we'll save 119 to conclude our look at this Lord's Day as our prayer of response. After the sermon, we'll read that responsively. Lord's Day 45, beginning at question and answers 116. That's found on page 893 at the back of the hymnal. And it asks that question there, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. Question 117 asks, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. And then question 118 asks, God, what has God commanded us to ask of him? Everything we need spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself had. And then we'll again pray the prayer after the sermon today. Please also turn in your Bibles to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, found on page 702, and the next page of the Pew Bible. Hear now the reading of God's Word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice in my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And that ends the reading of God's word. May he bless that to our hearts and instruct us this afternoon with his Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking again this afternoon at the theme that we find in the Heidelberg Catechism dealing with prayer. And we're going to be focusing on portions of Psalm 116. This afternoon's message, so I encourage you to have that open as well, Psalm 116, which we read from earlier. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have come to the last section of the third part of the Catechism, dealing with gratitude or our thanksgiving to God. And this last section deals with prayer. And it gives us explanations of the model prayer, the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to this last section, it might be surprising to us that we're not introduced to this theme of Scripture with a definition of prayer. Doesn't begin with an instruction about it. Instead, we're asked a question: why prayer is necessary for a Christian. And the reason for this question is that our own hearts are not always eager to pray. And often we tell ourselves that we don't need to pray. We may give in to our flesh that tells us it's not important, and that we might like to speak about prayer being the very breath of our spiritual life, in the sense that we cannot do anything without it. And though we may pay lip service to what it is able to do for us, we still find it hard to pray. It's not easy to be consistent. We have to learn how to pray. And that's why the Catechism begins with the necessity of it. It doesn't help us to know a lot about prayer unless we are praying. And it makes a point to regularly come to the Lord and speak with him. So this is the example that we have here in this psalm, this beautiful psalm. We see the psalmist's thankful response to God's help when he was in great need. we see this example of a saint who saw the necessity of prayer and he made it a priority to call upon the Lord. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and praise because the Lord answered this request for help and delivered him. He gives an account of how close he came to death in verse 3. He almost died. The cords of death had almost bound him and taken him captive. The pangs of Sheol, the grave, the anguish of the grave had come upon him. He was in the worst possible position. And looking at what happened, he then called upon the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. And he also tells us how he will never forget the Lord. So we have an example here of a praying saint and how it calls us as the people of God to do the same thing. Christ taught in the parable of one of the parables in the prayer of prayer, rather, in Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow, that men ought not to lose heart, but always pray. And Christ's own apostle, the apostle Paul, wrote, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, saying, praying without ceasing. All these passages show that we should be constantly depending on the Lord and should always be indebted to Him for His grace and His protection, for the direction that He gives, and for His many blessings. And so this afternoon, let us consider the nature of prayer with 3 points. First of all, the why. Secondly, the how. And then thirdly, the what. So let's consider first the reasons why. Well, the passage implies that there are several reasons why we should pray and to pray without ceasing. The psalmist didn't hesitate to do that. It was his habit to continuously do this. He didn't stop calling on God. And his reason for waiting on the Lord was that the Lord answered his prayer. Verse 2 says that. If we look at those verses again. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. And he promises himself that he will continue to do this. We have this repeated within the psalm a couple times, 2 more times in the psalm in verse 13, and then again in verse 17. His response of thanksgiving to God's mercies was to call upon the name of the Lord. And so there are 3 reasons why prayer is necessary. First of all, it's because God demands it of us. He requires us to come to Him. The writer of Psalm 116 didn't pray to God only when he felt like it. He didn't pray because his needs were more important. He prayed because he trusted in God, and it was his duty to do so. That's something that we must keep straight in our minds. We're not to come to God because our needs are the most important. We're to come to God because he requires us to come to him. It's God's commandment to pray. That's what matters. It'd be very hypocritical to think that we can only pray whenever we feel like it or whenever there's a need that arises. It's certainly very wicked to come to God only at the very worst of moments. You know, sometimes you hear sportscasters or maybe people, announcers on the radio, they'll be talking about some tragedy, a family who's been affected by a death or an illness. Or something that's hard that's going on, and then they'll say something like, our thoughts and our prayers are with so-and-so, or that individual, that family. And yet prayers is something that's very dangerous for anyone who thinks that they can pray whenever they feel like it, or when they have an attitude that we only pray when the circumstances are hard. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to pray in a difficult time. We are called by the Lord to certainly do this. The psalmist did it. We see the psalms, the psalmists doing this all the time. Yet, the point is, we're to pray because a great and awesome God has created us to have fellowship with Him. And He takes great joy in His children when they cry out to Him and put their trust in Him. So, congregation, if you don't pray on a regular basis, and if you don't feel compelled to pray because it's God's command, but only pray when you feel like it, and pray when you're in a bad situation, that's a very dangerous position to be in. We're to pray because God requires it of us. And He's given life to us. You remember Daniel in the Bible, who prayed 3 times a day, setting his face toward Jerusalem. He did this regularly because he knew that the Lord required this of him. And he did it because he loved his God and wanted to spend time speaking with Him. He prayed without ceasing. And some of us may find that, you know, the morning is the best time for personal devotions because we're the freshest then, or we might find that we're freshest in the evening. But the important thing is that we have a regular time of prayer with the Lord. Remember Nehemiah and how he would just offer a one-sentence prayer to God in the moment. These brief prayers. It shows us that he depended on the Lord. You see, when we realize it's God's command to pray that matters and not our needs that matter the most, we're showing that we're aware of our complete dependence upon our God for everything. And so the question today is, do you pray? Young people, do you pray? And why do you pray? Do you only pray when you're going through a rough time in life? Do you only come to God in a moment of crisis? Or do you pray regularly because you love the Lord and it is your heart's concern to speak with Him? We cannot live without calling upon the Lord because we depend upon Him. Therefore, prayer is necessary because God requires it of us. However, prayer is necessary, secondly, because it is the chief part of our thankfulness. Or as it says in the newer version of the Catechism here, it's the most important part of our thankfulness. It's not the only thankfulness for which God demands of us. We have spent a lot of time looking at all the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. They also are part of this, obviously. Yet prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness because in prayer, our relationship with God is given a very direct expression, a very personal expression. So the words of our text simply, imply rather, that the psalmist responded with a very thankful acknowledgement of God's grace. I love the Lord, he says, because he heard my voice in supplication. He inclined his ear to me. He was thanking the Lord for his salvation, for saving him from death, asking the Lord to receive his thanks. That's the same experience that we are to have. For we have been brought from death to life. We all have the curse of death on us. We all are naturally born in sin. We all know that we're bound by death's cords and the pangs of Sheol. because of our sin that this curse has come upon us. But in the words of the psalmist today, this afternoon, we can also say that God has spared us of all of this through his Son, delivering him up for us all. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. And he suffered because of our sin. And therefore, he deserves our thanks and praise. Now, prayer doesn't earn us grace. You don't earn anything by praying. Instead, prayer pleads with God to receive our praise and ask for his forgiveness and ask him to supply all of our needs. What would it mean to God if we never acknowledged our indebtedness to him? Never thanked him for his protection over us? How would the Lord take that from us if we never spoke to him out of thanksgiving? You know, we teach our children to say, thank you. That's something we expect of them. That's just politeness. And so it would be very sad if we didn't show our thankfulness to God by expressing it to him personally. You see, prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness because we communicate with him on a one-to-one basis. No one's able to pray for us, but each of us has a responsibility to keep up those lines of communication open between us and our God. We're to have that childlike trust. And when we make a point of crying out to him, then we're saying to God that we don't rely on ourselves. And we're saying that we see that God alone is able to help us in our needs. Again, that's what the psalmist did here. He knew that it was useless to call on man. Verse 11 says that very well. Whatever the situation was, he's obviously distressed. He says, verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. They can't be trusted. He trusted firmly in the Lord because it's only the Lord who is to be called on for help. And so, congregation, the question that God's word challenges you with is simply this. Do you pray? That's a question that only you can answer personally. Because prayer is not only coming into church and having the pastor or the elders are leading in prayer, having them pray. It's not just having family devotions in your home where your family can see you. But whether you pray in private or not is a matter between you and the Lord. No one is able to do your praying for you. You have to do it yourself. You're personally responsible to maintain those communication lines between yourself and your God. You can't rely on your wife or your husband or your mother or your father. You have to talk to God yourself. You have to express your thanks to God and cry out to him in faith. And that means that there's a responsibility to train our children to pray. You know, prayer is not something that naturally comes to them. So we have to teach them to pray while they're young. Obviously, the Holy Spirit trains them, but we as parents are called to give them that guidance. And so do we instruct our children to pray before bed at night or sometime during the day? Do we have them pray? As soon as they're able to speak, we should be making a point to teach them to pray, even in their own words, and make them see how important their relationship is with the Lord. And when they grow older, they should be having their own private time with the Lord. There should be nothing more exciting than that. To see our children growing up into young men and women who have a personal relationship with the Lord and who have their private devotions. That's why the catechism begins with this question, why is it necessary to pray? It's concerned first that we're a praying people. Before it gets into the specifics, what does that look like? Congregation, to be prayerless is to be without Christ. It's to be without grace, without hope, and without heaven. Prayer, therefore, is the most important part of our thankfulness. To live without that is to perish. And that brings us to a third reason why we're to pray. It's because the Lord gives us His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who ask for them in prayer. Prayer is really, it's a means of grace. You know, it's like the preaching of the word and the sacrament, it's a means of grace to us. It's the channel through which God gives us His grace and His Holy Spirit. And again, we see this in the words of the psalmist. He loved the Lord because the Lord heard His voice. He had inclined His ear to Him. This experience of the psalmist shows us that God had given His grace to him. It was grace that was imparted to him. Now, it should be amazing to us when we see the way that God is willing to even listen to our prayers. You know, this is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, high above us. To think that the God of all creation would take the time to listen to our prayers in the morning or in our weaknesses, and that it pleases Him to answer prayers. That is so amazing. Psalm 102 says, this is verse 19 of Psalm 102, "For He looked down from the height of His sanctuary from heaven. The Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death." Psalm 40 verse 17 says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God." So you see, prayers, it's a means of grace to us. They are the vehicle through which God supplies your needs. Ask, Jesus says, and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Because He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Just think, a God who's so powerful wants to help us. He wants to bless. But He wants you to ask. And yes, we should only ask for those things that are lawful, according to His commandments, according to His word. Those are the parameters of what we're to pray for, not to pray for, you know, $1 million to fall from the sky all of a sudden. We shouldn't be asking for things from a coveting heart. Prayer is not a means to receive luxuries and non-essentials, but the truth is God is certainly willing to grant His gifts and blessings to His people. But we have to ask. Are you looking for provisions for your body? God says, ask and you will receive. Do you need help in persevering in your faith? God says, ask and you will receive. Do you lack wisdom and integrity? Seek it and you will find it. If it's needed, no request is too small or insignificant. The point is, God wants us to ask because He's able to help us. Prayer is a means of grace through which we experience His blessing. Notice as well that our catechism speaks of imparting His grace and His Holy Spirit. Now, you might wonder about the wording of that because you can't pray apart from the Holy Spirit. This is speaking about our our relationship with the Lord. Why is it saying that we need the Spirit before you can? What is it? What do we really need? Don't we really need the Spirit rather before we even pray? How is it possible that you can receive the Spirit in prayer if He is assumed to be already there? But it's clear that what the Catechism is talking about is this continued blessing of the Holy Spirit in His grace. The Lord's not going to forgive us our sins unless we ask Him to forgive us. And He's also not going to hear our prayers if we regard iniquity in our hearts. But if we openly confess our sins, He freely forgives us, because God is a source of grace, and He grants that pardon to all those who sincerely ask for it. So if we want to continue to receive the blessing of God's Spirit, all we need to do is ask. Know and be assured, congregation, that God imparts His grace to the sincere and the contrite in heart, to those who do not regard iniquity in their hearts, as His grace is powerful and able to cleanse from all wrong. That's the why. This leads us to the how. Secondly, we must pray with heartfelt longing. Our prayers can't be superficial or with lip service. Congregation, it's one thing to say your prayers, and then it's another to actually pray. It has to come from inside us, like a sigh. It has to be full of an honest desire. And notice again the way that the psalmist prays. He prayed that with earnest desire. There's a sincerity here. He wanted to pray more and more. He had that heartfelt longing that the Catechism speaks about. And when you really think about prayer, it's like a circle. There's a cycle that takes place. There's a cycle that we see here in Psalm 116. The psalmist went from prayer to thanksgiving, expressing his love for the Lord, and then he went back to prayer again, to intercession, to his needs. He loved the Lord because the Lord heard his prayer and inclined his ear to him. Therefore, he was going to continue to call on the Lord for the rest of his life. And in that way, we see the cycle. And when the Lord answers prayer, we have a greater love and appreciation for Him. When He answers prayer, we grow more and more and want God's grace to grow in us. The more we experience His grace, the more we want to grow in it. As God's mercies to us through answered prayer become the fuel by which we want to grow in grace. So, congregation, is this also true of you? Are you experiencing God's grace and growing in it more? Is there an increasing desire to know more of God's grace? Do you find that you've grown in grace because you have had an increased desire to spend more time with the Lord? And can all of us say that we love the Lord more than we used to? That we love Him more now? You see, that really should be our testimony if we personally know this circle that the psalmist is speaking about here. May it be that we're wanting to grow more in grace and wanting more and more to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and height and length and depth of the love of God, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Or think of the psalmist in Psalm 27 who says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, so that I can behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple." Yet just because we ask doesn't mean that we'll always get an answer the ways that we might expect. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered the way that we want. And it may seem that God doesn't care, which of course isn't true. God always cares about us. But if we do not receive what we pray for immediately, we should not stop praying. Because the Lord sometimes causes us to be tested, to make us wait. Isn't that the lesson that God often teaches us? Isn't that what the parable of the persistent widow is all about? Jesus says there ought to always pray and not lose heart. There's that need to trust in Him, persevering, agonizing in our prayers, wrestling with God. It's that agonizing prayer that sometimes is used as a channel or a means of grace. And yet, congregation, let's be assured that God will always hear us and answer us in His own way and in His own time. We might think that God doesn't care, but He does. He'll never forsake His own. He will never cast them aside. And when we see how God answers our prayers, we should respond in thanksgiving, the same way that the psalmist does here. So let's therefore pray without ceasing. Let's always remember the necessity of prayer. And let's be encouraged by the words of this psalm. And may we too have that same kind of experience that the psalmist was having here, calling upon the Lord as long as we live. Amen. Well, it leads us to the third point, the what, which is the Lord's Prayer, which we'll pray with after I pray. We'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. If you need the words for that, that's found on page 894, the back of the hymnal. In answer to that question, what is this prayer? Let's call upon our God now and pray. Gracious Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for Jesus Christ and His grace and mercy shown to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, O Father, which you've given to us, who you have supplied to us, that we might know you and walk with you. And as we, Lord, consider why we are to pray and how we are to pray, we're thankful that you also tell us what to pray. And we do that now together in these words, saying, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.